Welcome back to another episode of the Pursuing Faith podcast with Lana and Iggy. And I'm so excited for today's episode because this has been really, I guess, heavy in a good way in my heart. And we're going to give credit to our pastor because we are going to spread the notes from church onto today's podcast. And it was actually Ignacio's idea because he's also so passionate about this topic. And again, we're here to share our journey, our Christian journey as new believers. So again, we're being bold as new believers and hopefully making the way for others, you know, and helping others hopefully go to heaven as well, which that is the topic. So if you want to go ahead and say the topic.
Yeah, not only new believers, but I think that this is a topic that
it's like a refresher, I would say.
Across Christians, I think that we tend to not pay so much attention to it. Mm-hmm. To it, and it makes sense why we don't pay too much attention to it. And I'm going to break that down. But the topic is basically that there's two doors to eternity. One leads to life, and the other one leads to destruction. And basically, the way of life or the way to life is difficult, right? How many times throughout the Bible, Jesus says I don't have it here, but Jesus says like to pick up our cross and follow him every single day. So every single day when we wake up, we're meant to pick up our cross and follow him.
Amen.
And if we go back in time to what the cross meant back in those times, the cross was I'm stuck with English today. The cross was
Spanish,
no, babe.
See, Español, I love hearing you speak Spanish.
The cross is a way. It was a way of I'm blank.
You got this.
Suffering, no. Of punishment, no.
A reminder?
Not a reminder, no. A way of tortura. How do you say it?
Torture.
Thank you.
Yeah, that could have been solved a minute ago, babe.
Yeah, well, but the words were stuck in my brain. So the cross was a way of torture. Like, it was not just a way of punishing people to death, because there were people that were decapitated. Getting decapitated was way less painful. In fact, John the Baptist was decapitated. Like he was not crucified. So the cross was literally the ultimate torture punishment that a person could get back in the day. And Jesus is calling us to pick up our cross every single day and follow him. So out of the gate, we get the message that the way to life, the way to eternal life, it's hard, it's difficult. And the reason that when I heard Pastor Louis talk about this, and I was even like pinching you when he was saying that, is because he shared with us that when he read the passage on Matthew that says, Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." So Jesus is calling everybody to go through the narrow gate. And he explains too that the other gate that goes, the other gate is big and wide, and that's the route that most people are going to choose. Mm-hmm. And he said that when he read that passage, it was like heartbreaking for him, because he realized that he gave this example. So shout out to you, Louis. He's like,
we need to invite him on here.
Yeah, I know, we need to.
Like the next few episodes, like after this podcast, text him and
we'll make it happen. But he's like, best case scenario, 49% of people are going to heaven. Okay, and that's the best case scenario. So think about all the people that you know in your life, and only 49% of those people, you have a chance of seeing them in heaven.
Yeah.
The rest, you can. So, and I give you the word, but to me, from the moment I got into faith, this is something that I struggle with because, yes, we are saved by grace. We're saved by faith in Jesus, right? But I think that there's much more to unbuckle or not to, yeah, to unbuckle, to decipher what that actually means. Because having faith in Jesus is not just by words, is by actions, is by your heart, is by constant changing and pursuing him. So even till this day, I'm kind of scared of what's going to happen to me on Judgment Day. And I think that that's the fear that we should all have to God, you know, because we don't really know, you know, like we have people that say like, yeah, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven, this and that. You can't really know. You know, until you are judged, you truly don't know where you're going.
So whenever I think about that, and I'm frustrated, I remember that this life is temporary. And this life, yes, I'm grateful for it, but the life that's to come after in heaven is what we're truly living up for. Like, at least that's you know, what I strive to do every day. And whenever I think of like hardships, or I'm very, I would say angered because a situation is, you know, not going my way, or I'm upset and sad, I'm like, you know what, this is temporary, and I'm just gonna like let go and let God. And I always ask myself, like, what would Jesus do? How would he react, and how would he love on that person? You know, because I feel like right now in my life, I'm going through a lot of tough situations, and I don't want to get emotional right now because it's that time of the month. But, you know, I feel like other people would be very angered. And but, you know, I'm just taking life day by day, and I'm praying to God and asking him for patience and loving and kind and compassionate. And I know that whatever decision is made to come out of whatever I'm going through, it's him. Like, it's his ultimate decision. And even though, let's say, somebody bashes me or insults me, I just pray for them, because I know that I know where they're going to end up on Judgment Day. And I don't wish that upon anybody. I actually like pray to God, like, I'm like, God, please, like, save them, change their heart, change their mind, help them surrender to you, you know, because at the end of the day, like, when Judgment Day comes, we know where they're going to go. And it's kind of scary to think. So that also helps me get through a situation easier.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so many people spend a lot of time either bad mouthing something because of a problem that they had with that person. And, you know, I always kind of say like, hey, like, I don't think it's worth talking about this, or I just don't pay mind to it, because again, like, whatever they're going through is temporary, and the best that we can do is pray for them and set a boundary and
stand up, you know, for the truth in a kind of loving way. But I don't want to switch topics. So if you want to go ahead and lead the big idea for today.
So I share at the beginning the big idea of today's. There are two doors to eternity. One leads to life, and the other leads to destruction. Every single person must choose between these two paths. Jesus is the door to eternal life. And I wanted to share with you guys something that happened at Easter. So we were over in Argentina, and I went with the idea of sharing God's word amongst my family. And we started talking,
you know, and I really got upset with the fact that we were all gathered, and yeah, we were celebrating Easter, and we were saying Happy Easter, but I don't know if, and I think that I spoke to about this on the Easter episode, but it's like, I don't know if we're truly aware or conscious of what Easter means, you know? And I started talking to them, and they started telling me that there were multiple truths, and they started telling me that I had my own interpretation of the Bible, that they can have their interpretation of the Bible, that they can seek God in their own ways, that they don't need to read the Bible to seek God, and different things like that. And I got really frustrated because, and I told them this, and this is how the devil deceives conversations, right? Because one of the things that I used was like, I know and I understand what you are telling me because I used to be in your shoes. Mm-hmm. And the response I received was like, oh, what, now you're better than us? And I was like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I used to be in your shoes and I used to think the way you think. I used to think that I can be with God and know God on my own ways. I used to think that God was all loving and He is all loving, but I used to think that God was all loving, and even if I did not repent from my sins or the things that I did or I did not acknowledge them, He would still love me. And I finished the conversation saying, because then they would start talking about like, you know, I don't know what God is, but I know that God exists. And I don't know, I started getting very frustrated.
You explained yourself very well.
I explained myself, yeah. When I say frustrated, I don't mean that I was getting angry or anything. I was talking to them, but it was frustrating because I realized that I was talking to people that they have never read the Bible. So I share with them the gospel. I share with them what Christ did. I share with them the good news. And then I encourage them, like, look, before we have this conversation, you should read the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because you are making all these assumptions. You are making all these points that you don't have nothing to back it up because you didn't do your own research. And I used to do that. I used to say like, oh, the Bible was written by men. Cool. That's true. But when you start reading the Bible and you start walking in faith and you learn that, yes, it was written by men from like, but God was speaking through them, and there's thousands and thousands of documents recollected and put them together. And like the Bible is the book that has the most historical proven data. Mm-hmm. You know, it has more data than I think that we, Pastor Louis, shout out to him again, he told us this. The Bible has more data to back it up than philosophers that are taught at school. Mm-hmm. Like Aristotle, I think, if I'm pronouncing that, has less historical like proof behind his words than the Bible itself.
The whole conversation was really frustrating. One of those people was Mike, your stepdad, and he was like, again, he's a faithful person. Like, he has a really cool story.
Yeah,
he truly believes in God. But then here is where the message, and literally, guys, this was the first time we went back to church after our trip. And I felt that this message was like literally
God
showing me that I was on the right track on my conversation. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was so passionate, and I told this to Mike and my brother-in-law over there, my sister's boyfriend, is because I don't want them to go to hell, you know? And I think that there's a lot of people that think that they will go to heaven just because they say that they have faith and all this stuff. But then they go about their life doing things that are really against God's word and are really sins. And because they don't have the knowledge and they don't read God's word, they are not actually aware of how they can actually be saved. You know, they just absorb this idea that they can be saved just by
Which I have a theory that I don't, I, because I haven't read the Bible, I think a lot of people don't know that there is a heaven and a hell.
I
I'm not
mean,
making
I mean,
excuses for them.
okay, let's break that down because that's part of this conversation. A lot of people, and I'm going to start getting into these, right? So the Bible says through multiple verses that the way to life is difficult, okay?
Yes.
We touch that, and then it also says that the way to destruction is easy, right? The gate to heaven is very narrow. The gate to the other gate is wide and it's easy. So going back to your point, why do people want to believe without even reading the Bible or just because they just don't want to believe in hell and heaven is because it's easy, right? It's a lot
It's
easier.
convenient. It's
Well,
convenient.
it's easy. It's easy, like how the Bible describes it. So it's a lot easier for us to don't think that there's a hell, to don't think that there's a heaven.
Which, by the way, like, just a little bit of a background, like, so I mean, I didn't grow up in the church. I mean, my grandma was more religious, but I didn't get to spend a lot of time with my grandma. And so then, we got into, this group, and I'm very grateful for every path I take in my life because I know that that was meant for me in that time. But we were in a group where I was told that hell isn't real and that's just marketing. Like the devil isn't real and that's just marketing, and they paint this picture just to sell stuff. So,
And to scare people.
and to scare people. And so for a good period of my time, that's
Even like the even when we started our walk in faith and we started going to church, you struggle with a lot of these beliefs, product of what you were told in that setting. So like again, like it's so easy to think that there's no judgment for our actions, you know, and we see what's going on in the world right now. Like people are living a life that is all about how
them
I feel and I do what I want just because it's my life.
my
And
body.
yeah, and all these different arguments that we hear. And the only reason they are able to do that is because they don't think that there's going to be consequences. Because even a kid that doesn't know a lot, if he does something wrong, he or she does something wrong, and you put them on time out, now they know that there's a consequence for what they did, so they're not going to do it again. So it's part of how our father discipline us. It's part of how our father push us to improve, push us to do better, you know? And you know, the doorway to destruction is often confused with the doorway to life. You know, I think that that statement, when I heard that statement, a million things came to my head in many different situations, you know, where even as a man, you know, you grow up in the settings that I grew up and telling you, like, oh, I don't know, if you get married, you are dumb, or like if you should not have one girlfriend, you should have 20 girlfriends, different things like that, that it's very part of
Culture.
the athlete culture that I grew up in. And that's easy. Again, we spoke in other episodes before, you know, it's a lot easier for me to have a open relationship and be with whoever I want to be and not have to respond to anybody and not have responsibilities toward anybody than for me to commit to one person, love her, take care of her, protect her, provide for her, like everything, it's so much harder, right? So it goes back to what Jesus told the apostles. He's like, follow me, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross and pick up your cross every day and follow me. So that's the way we're meant to live. You know, life, eternal life, or the way to eternal life and life with Christ is not meant to be easy. It's meant to be hard. You know, and yes, he will provide for us. Yes, he will protect us. Yes, we can pray and he will help us and he will guide us. But that does
also test us.
But that doesn't mean that it's going to be like a, you know, easy peasy type of life. And that to me, again, when I got into faith, that to me was something that was very big,
yeah.
Because I keep hearing the other message, which is the other message is correct. We are saved. The first step to be saved is putting our faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's, I'm not debating that. I'm not challenging that, but I'm saying that there's a lot more mm-hmm. that we need to open up our eyes to,
yeah.
Because the Bible calls us to.
And just know that, like, you know, lately I've, there will be a period of time where I'll read the Bible every single day, attend my Bible studies every single day. And then, you know, there will be weeks where I only attend twice. And though I realize, like, those are the weeks that I have the lowest energy. I snap a little bit easier. And in those times, or if you don't even know, like, what's distracting you, ask God to reveal to you the distractions, you know, because for me, I know it can be social media. So I'll go ahead and delete the app for a day or 2 days. Like, I'll delete TikTok because I know that could be very distracting. And, you know, having a big platform means connecting with a lot of people. But sometimes connecting with a lot of people, I often get distracted. So I know that God has revealed himself, like, you know what? Lana, like, you need to get off of social media for a little bit. So now I've created the habit, like, I'll delete social media off my phone, or I'll just go in, reply to messages, and then log off. Or now I can catch myself, like, if I know that I'm being distracted and I know that I can be spending more time in his word, I'll delete the app. So ask God to reveal to you the things that are driving you further away, right? Because what's considered normal nowadays in culture is not normal. And getting into his word and normalizing that should be normal. Spending time in his word, having meaningful conversations, like, ask and really take a look around, like, ask yourself, like, what are conversations that you're having with your spouse, with your friends? Are you bad-mouthing other people? Are you talking about superficial things? Because I know, and living in Miami, we can get caught up on that. Like, I need this and I need that. And no, like, let's switch the conversation and, like, let's really take a look at what life is about. You know, what are your habits? Are you taking care of your body? Are you getting into his word? Are you spending time alone and praying to God? So I know that I'm making it a habit to pray even more. So instead of praying once, I just take a time out of my day to really just thank him multiple times a day and talk to him and ask him what I need. Because usually
it's really good to walk and pray. I mean, it might not work for a lot of people, but especially if you guys work in an office or work at home, it might be difficult to kind of, like, get off your computer and start praying and get time. So maybe you can just go for a 5-minute walk and talk to him for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you know? And when you're in nature, like, I don't know, you feel him different. And I don't mean nature, like, into the wilderness. I'm not a person like that, but just by walking on the street, you know, like, my office is, like, in close to, like, literally across the street of my office, there's a farm, probably the only farm in Miami Lakes left, I don't know. And I would go and walk there and just take a 5-minute walk and just pray. I walk in my house and pray outside. So, like, just being able to see the sky is it hits different to me. But I wanted to read this passage from Luke 13, verse 23 through 27. And someone asked him, they are talking to Jesus, and somebody asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" And he replied, "Work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. Too many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, but we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. And he will reply, I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil. You know, I was having this conversation with my mom on the car to a ranch that we were going in Argentina. And I was arguing with her because I was upset that she doesn't read the Bible. You know, that she doesn't read the Bible, but she tells me that she has faith, that she knows that God is with her, you know. And I was talking to her, and part of me was kind of jealous for, like, the faith that she had of knowing that God is with her. Not that I don't know that God is with me, but I'm in this flow that I know that God is with me, but I know that God expects from me to seek him. You know, he's just not there with me like maybe he was with me before that I didn't know him. You know, it's like the Bible talks about this too. You know, when you, the more knowledge you gain, the more responsibilities, the more judgment you're going to receive, the more weight you carry, you know, like the famous Spider-Man quote, great power comes with great responsibility. So that was kind of like a little bit of jealousy from that part. But then she keeps saying, like, I know that God is with me. I know God. I know this. And I'm like, okay, how do you know God if you don't read the Bible? She's like, oh, I don't need to read the Bible. Yes, you do need to read the Bible. That's his word. And we started debating this and that. And then finally, I tell her, like, the only reason you're not reading the Bible is because you think that your way is better. Like, your way of seeking him is better than reading his own word. So how can you say, and I ask this question to people out there, how can you say that you know God if you don't read his word? Mm-hmm. You know, and I said this all the time. I used to be on that side. I used to even judge God. You know, I used to be one of those people that would be like, oh, if God loves us so much, why there is hunger in the world and stuff like that. And when you start reading the word of God, all of that has an explanation. Mm-hmm. All of that starts making sense, you know, and the only way you can get there is by seeking him, you know, on top of what I just read, that it says.
So just to, like, kind of sum it up, because I feel like I'm a very bullet point person. And I know that we have a lot of, like, new believers who want to get into the word, but they don't know how. And, like, I feel like that's why they don't even open the Bible. So just kind of like some action steps that you can take to, take that narrow path, right? So number one, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible or download the Holy Bible app. We're always on our phones. So there's no excuse as to you're too lazy to go and open up your Bible. We always have time. We have 16 hours of the day, pretty much. So ask yourself where you can at least give him, and this is minimum.
Go to the phone and see how many times you spend on Instagram.
Exactly.
And switch it up.
So what you can do is, okay, delete Instagram every night off your phone or every morning. Read at least, start with Matthew or what? Start, where do you suggest?
Yeah, Matthew is the perfect place to start. Mm-hmm. I am about to finish the New Testament completely. I started from Matthew and now I'm in Revelations, which so far has been the hardest book to read from the whole New Testament, but I'm going through it. But yeah, I think that, Matthew, to start from Matthew is the best way. And then we're going to give a shout out to Jonathan's suggestion on reading Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that has from chapter 1 to 31st. So what I do is every day I read the chapter of the day.
Okay.
So I can keep reading that because Proverbs has a lot of wisdom.
Okay.
So I suggest that you read Proverbs. Yeah. And the wisdom that there is in Proverbs is wisdom that, I love the Bible, but it's wisdom that it literally, like, all the, you see all these gurus that they talk about stuff. Okay, Proverbs has all that wisdom there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wish, I said this many, many times before, I wish I would have read Proverbs from a very young age, because it would have saved me a lot of mistakes. Yeah.
And before you open the Bible, I like to read the version CSB. You like the New Living Testament?
I read the New Living Testament, but I compare. If there's words that you don't understand, the good thing about doing it on the phone is that if there's words that you don't understand, you can compare.
Yeah.
With other versions, and you can get better understanding.
So you can start with two verses, a chapter, go slow. It's not a race. And before you open it, like, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit to guide you on understanding this. So the more you open up his word, the more he will speak to you. So I hope that encourages you to just pick it up. And again, like, don't overcomplicate it. Pray before, a little minute prayer, and just get into it. Stretch. You can stretch while you do it. Put it on audio. That's what I've been doing too. I'm like, okay, I need to stretch more. Instead of just being like laying down on my phone before bed, let me stretch and open up his word. So, yeah. And go ahead.
Final point. At the end of the day, we will have to make a choice. Okay? And making no choice is making a choice.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You told me that. And I'm like, wow, that was so good.
It's like when people say like, oh, I'm just going to wait. Waiting is a choice. You're being judged for waiting. So every single choice that we make has a consequence. And I encourage you guys to, the sooner you start to get better with God, better with Jesus, the better you'll be. At the end of the day, you know, one of the things that came up in the conversation that I was having with my family is like, oh, religion, this, religion, that. And I was very clear. This is not a religion for me. I am not. I go to my church. I love my pastor and stuff like that. But I'm very open that if something happens in my church that pushes me, like puts the word of God in jeopardy, I'm very quickly to not be there no more. Like it's a relationship that I have with God. I don't have a relationship with my church, like in the sense that I'm attached to it. I'm attached to God, you know? So at the end of the day, for new believers too, that might be triggered by the word religion, or people out there that might be listening to this for the first time and you're triggered by the word religion, don't think about it as a religion. Like religion is a earthly term. And we're talking about God, who is the creator of everything. So that's more of a relationship. And you have to make a choice. Do you want to have a relationship with him or not, you know? And being in the middle is making a decision too. Mm-hmm. So be smart with that. And beautiful. I hope that we can all see each other in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal. I mean, I'm still scared. You know, you have to fear the Lord. That's in Proverbs too. Mm-hmm. Like you have to fear the Lord, and fear to the Lord will change your life, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not fear of like, I don't know. It's not fear like fearing a ghost, you know? It's fear out of respect and honor. It's fear out of
wanting to make him proud.
Yes, exactly. Like, I don't want to let him down. Like mm-hmm. he created me and for a reason. And I want to make him proud for that creation. I don't want him to regret creating me, you know?
Amen.
So
with that being said, before we end the podcast, just a few announcements. By the way, we're getting closer to our first event, and it's probably going to be at the WOW Center. So it's a center where, you know, there's adults that have disabilities, and we're speaking to we finally got in contact with the coordinator. Her name is Mari, so I'm so excited. So we can see what we can do there. And then don't forget to join our community. It's free. Download the Circle app
And we fix the link, by the way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are having issues. Oh. We fix the link.
And then last but not least, we have our Pursuing Faith journals. They're finally out now. So we fulfill Monday through Friday, and they arrive pretty quickly if you're within the US. And 10% of the proceeds, we say 10% of the proceeds, but right now we're just giving everything to the Pursuing Faith Foundation so that we can supply organizations with what they need and spread the gospel. So with that being said, I love you guys so much, and we'll see you next Tuesday.